Good morning again. Yeah, it has been a great week for this church, for those who have been here to attend the seminar on entrepreneurship and poverty. I want to know how many of us has been granted by the grace to be there. So we praise God for that. And today I have the privilege to give the summary of what we have gone through from Monday to Friday. During the week, we had a chance to have 1 hour of teaching. So that means 5 hours, 300 minutes. And I have the task, the hard task, to sum up these 300 minutes into 20 minutes. And I believe that by God's grace, we will make it. Dear brothers and sisters, when it comes to speak about entrepreneurship and poverty, our today topic. Technique, please. Are you with us? Good. As I was saying, when it comes to speak about entrepreneurship and poverty, many of us may say, how come we are speaking about poverty in a parish which is known as an international parish? In a parish which is known as a VIP parish, where people struggle and find where to park their cars. And some of us may say, why to tell us about poverty? Later you will find to know that many of us are poor without knowing that they are. And God has revealed me that, and we are going to see that through the readings that we are going to go through. First, God wants to remind us that He has created us with a plan of happiness. We are in the point one for the technique. And we are going to go through some readings in the book of Genesis, chapter 1. And I've selected different verses at different steps of creation, when God is breaking, as is making an evaluation. And as we read these verses, Genesis 1, 10, it says, God found everything was good. I have the Good News Bible. It says that God was pleased. We found that at the verse 10, 12, 18, 21, 25, and later, at the end of the creation, God made an overall evaluation. So monitoring and evaluation. We know about, there are so many of us here, David Musumba and others, who are specialists of monitoring and evaluation. After each project, they go to check how the project was conducted. Are the result look like what was expected? And some of us here are expecting that field. But look at what God found at the end of the creation. Genesis 1:31. God looked at everything He had made, and He was very pleased. He was very pleased. In most of the versions it says, God, He found that it was very, very good. So from this, what is the lesson that we are finding? God created the man after having prepared all the required conditions for a better life. Because if we look at the different steps as God was creating, the creation of man came after everything was set up. And God said, let us create man at our own image. So we were created at the image of God. We know there are so big animals like elephant. How many of us have seen an elephant face to face? How do you feel when you are in front of an elephant? How do you feel? Small. But the elephant was not created at the image of God. Only we, men. Last Sunday, we had a testimony about that from our brother who
went to Switzerland.
And this means there is a responsibility. So if we were created at the image of God, it is not just for nothing. It is for the responsibility. And we find that responsibility at Genesis. We are in the second point. Genesis chapter 2, verse 15. Let me read again. Then God placed the man in the Garden of Eden to cultivate it and guard it. Here we found two responsibilities. So God didn't make elephant responsible. We know so many stories about the lion. And it is said that the lion is the king of the forest. But the lion was not created at the image of God. Only you and I. Only you and me were created at the image of God. So the two responsibilities are to cultivate. And about the cultivating, human beings should ensure that multiplication of resources, we should ensure that we are multiplicating the resources to keep the balance between population growth and the livelihood resources. I have told you we are how many people on the planet? We are how many? 7 billion. And when we look at the global, the overall balance of the population, the production, there is a balance. But the problem is that there are people who are extremely very rich and other extremely very poor. But when we come to DRC, as Congolese people, we are really failing to meet this responsibility. I'm going to tell you why. When you look at Google, DRC is presented as a green country. And scientists tell us that DRC has the potential to produce food without even using fertilizers that can feed all Africa. Without the need of irrigation, in very natural conditions. There are even places there in Masisi where you don't need even to cultivate. You just take the seed and spread them, and when animals will come, they will help them go into the land, and after they will come out, and you just come after 3 months for the harvest. This is possible in Masisi. And this is the country where we are importing everything. The rice that we are eating here is coming from Pakistan. Pakistan, there is a desert. Can you imagine how many efforts, how many technology people are investing to produce rice in Pakistan? And as Congolese, we are enjoying buying rice from Pakistan. The bread that we are eating from Oman. So this is being unresponsible. And Christian, we should think about this responsibility. And God is reminding this morning us that we are responsible. And about multiplication, we learned that here in this parish, if each one of us decides to have his own garden at home and not buying vegetables, we made calculation during the seminar. We found that every family here spent around 1,000 Congolese francs per day to buy vegetables. There we don't count fruit. If we take fruit, the daily budget is around maybe 2,000, 3,000 francs. And when we take only the vegetable per family, we found that per year we can save up to $200. And when we bring the figure to a parish of 500 people, we came to find that if we open a given account where each member of this parish will do the multiplication, making your garden to eat vegetable that you have produced yourself, each family will bring here $200 at the end of the year. It is simple. Take these francs, 1,000, 2,000 times 365 days, you will find around $200. And when we bring it to 500 people, members of the parish, we found 120,000 US dollars. $120,000. What is the budget of this parish? Yeah. So we can do more than half of this from just vegetable. We're going to find about the chicken. Most of us, we have become lazy. Our grandfather, our parents used to not to buy chicken. When we have a visa, we just go in the corner and take one. But actually, we are not. We want to go only to the market. We don't think where it is from. And we forget this responsibility of multiplying. And we found that every family here buy at an average around 10 chicken per year. Some can reach 20. When we made the calculation, we found that we can also reach $100,000. So already $220,000 beyond the budget of the church. And this is possible if we come back to this responsibility of multiplying. The other responsibility is to keep and maintain. And here God expects from us being a responsible for us to act responsibly, maintaining all that He has created in the very good state as the time He finished to create them. So God, He said it was very good. So we should ensure that everything we are maintaining very good. And we found there is a responsibility for those who are doing business to ensure that we are doing business, ensuring that we are keeping very good. So if you are doing farming, make sure you are keeping very good through the method that you are using. So, what is now entrepreneurship as you are thinking about entrepreneurship? I'm going to go quickly because we don't have time to go deep. We found that entrepreneurship is the fact to initiate a new income generating activity or innovate an existing income generating activity. And when we speak about an income generating activity, this is not only the responsibility for those who are unemployed. So every one of us can have a garden and generate income, $200 per year, because you are not buying the vegetable. Why entrepreneurship? To provide solution to a problem which affects a mass of people willing to pay for the solution. Most of Congolese people, they expect a miracle. They think that one day there will be a miracle and things will change. One day we will have a president who will come to change everything. It will never happen. You are the one to bring the change. And the key of this change is entrepreneurship. Start producing something from your home. Why entrepreneurship? To improve living conditions and contribute to the social and economic development. All the countries which are actually developed, it is not coming from the government. It is coming from individuals like us. And most of us, we are forgetting that. And the little change that we have here in Goma, you are now enjoying having small good roads. You know who is behind that? There are three men. Mr. Vani Bishok, I've been with him many times talking about that project. They are targeting to do that in all the city. And they are going progressively. You are not enjoying driving on the good roads? Are you aware that this is a private initiative? And let me inform you if you didn't know. And you too, you have a responsibility to bring change around you. In your street, you can bring a project that will bring better life. I was thinking about people who are living in Himbi, where people spend 10 years without water. I said, how this can be possible? Doctors, professors, engineers, generals, reverends, even the bishop of the Catholic Church live in that area. And it has been without water for 10 years. And people are buying water from the bicycles. We are doctors, engineers.
Why not to meet and work on a project? Actually, it has been privatized. So any of us can bring a project and supply water to people and you get money. So we are responsible to improve life around us. And if you are blaming the government, make sure you are wrong. For a long time, with good management principles, most of us who started business, they are not moving forward because they are not putting in management principles, good governance principles. Successful business people, they are those who are strong, have put strong management principles. Even if it's a family business, I gave a testimony about how I organize my business. I work with my wife, but we have good management principles. I don't have even access to the cash. There is someone I have to pass through, and yet it is my business. How most of us business people we behave? Even on Sunday, you can go and take some cash. No even separation between your cash and the cash of the business. Make sure we put in good governance principle. As we are approaching the end, let us see now what is poverty. Now you will see that some of us are poor without knowing. Poverty is lack of sufficient resources for a normal life. So we don't have all the required resources to live a normal life. Secondly, poverty is the lack of means to meet basic needs. And the basic needs here are food, health, housing, education. When I speak about health, none of us will think that it is good. No. How many of us have went to see a dentist from January? You are not feeling any pain, but just went to see a dentist for a checkup. Raise up our hands. If you went to see a dentist and you are not feeling any pain, just for a checkup, how many? There are a few, maybe 5% of us. But it is said that we should do twice a year. Every 6 months, an adult should go to see a dentist. Every 6 months. How many of us did it? Can you imagine a family of 10 people, we go to see the dentist and we pay $500? And we do that every 6 months? So you can just doing an assessment whether you are not poor. And when we speak about food, you know what's food? Eating healthy 3 times per day. We are even eating food we don't know where it is from and whether it is healthy or not. And most of us, we are not eating healthy. So, poverty is also, this is my definition because I'm writing a book and there will be some of my definitions. Poverty is being the only or a few number of rich person in a community of poor people. If you are rich and you are surrounded by poor people, you are also poor. Because poverty is contagious. I found someone who has been blessed to get money and he bought a big TV. And he said, this TV, I have to carve it and bring it at night time so my neighbors don't see that I brought this TV. So they don't come to attack me in the night. So you are not rich. We're going to all say that we have overcome poverty when we have made all our surroundings rich. So there is no one can look at another with... Yeah, you understand what I mean. So poverty is dangerous and poverty is contagious. So make sure we are also helping our neighbors to fight poverty. There is another definition from the UNDP and from the World Bank, but I don't take account of this because I found this not realistic. But it is also there, $1.9 per day. And when you took your income, make the sum of your income of all the family members, so take the average per person. Usually we take our income. If I take my income, I will see how many people in my large family rely on me. If I take all these people I divide, I may be under this figure, 1.9 $1 per day. Let us move forward. Let us now read from Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 6. From 6 to 11. I'm sorry because we are out of time, but I'll try to go fast. Lazy people should learn a lesson from the way ants live. They have no leader, chief, or rule, but they store up their food during the summer, getting ready for winter. Let me stop there because of time. Here we are even invited to learn from the ant, the very small animal, nearly 1-2 millimeters, and try to compare our brain to the size of the ant. How do you feel? Not from the elephant. The ant, a very small animal. Our brain is big like this. All of us, we have a brain of this height. And the ant is this small. So this to say that we should change our way of living. We learn from the wisdom of ants who without master know how to work hard. And they work hard. And they work together. Because we are also selfish. We don't work together. I have also as an example for those who are doing business. You are 10 people doing same business, moving in the same plane, going to Dubai, buying same stuff. And I made calculation with some business people that you are wasting $100,000 doing that. You are 10 people from Goma. You will create one company. One of you will go to live in Dubai and you will save up to $500,000. Come and see. I will give you details about that. I saw so many people here. They are doing that. They say, we are going to fill a container. And 20 of them, they go together, same plane, same destination, from the same city, from the same church. Indians and Chinese and other, they know the secret. They work together. Let us learn from the ant because they work together. Let us move forward. Then we speak about the risk. About the risk. Next slide, please. About the risk, we found that. You see the first picture there. Do you see how the ants are taking the risk? Do you see this photo? This is the real photo. Go in the bush and observe the ants. It's how they work. You see how they took the risk? They are taking the risk. Two of them, they are climbing. Do you look well at that photo? So many of us, they are afraid to start business, to do entrepreneurship because they fear the risk. And let us learn from the ants. And as we are about closing, there are some biblical principle models about entrepreneurship. We don't have time to read them, but you can write the verses. Move forward, please. From Proverbs, Solomon said, the most precious thing of man is activity. So make sure you have an activity that is generating money for you, or that is helping you to do the task of multiplying. And from Genesis chapter 30, 27 to 30, there is Jacob with his father-in-law. Jacob has been working for his father-in-law. And Jacob is telling his father-in-law that he's leaving. The father-in-law is saying, I want to give you any salary you want me to give. And this is real. Let me just read. This is Genesis 30, 20, 27. Let me read just one verse. Laban said to him, let me say this. I have learned by divination that the Lord has blessed me because of you. Name your wages and I will pay them. So the father-in-law, the boss of Jacob, is proposing him any salary that he wants. So how many of us, we are fixing our salary? Even if you are working at Monisco, are you fixing your salary? No, it is a fixed budget. You are not deciding. But here we have someone who is proposing to fix the salary. And yet he say, no, let me go and work for myself. So this is a good model of entrepreneurship in the Bible. So Jacob chose to become an entrepreneur and was ready to live a better salary. So this can give you a lesson if you are struggling to decide. Entrepreneurship is the better way also to practice the faith. Because for those who are doing entrepreneurship, they know this is the land where we practice faith. We believe in ideas which are still ideas, and we believe in them. This is Jacob, a good lesson. This is entrepreneurs. They believe in ideas. And they commit, they give their energy, their resources, their time. Even they invest their money in an idea. That is still an idea. Let me give you an example. Our president, Felix Tshisekedi, promised that now the school will be free. So parents don't need to pay. But teachers are not believing. They have gone on strike. Didn't you hear that? So they are not believing. Because employers, they don't need to have faith. You know, on 25th, your salary will be in your bank account. If there is a delay, you go on strike. No need for faith there. So the land where we practice faith is doing entrepreneurship. So as we are ending, let us get now some lessons how we should do. This is the last slide. First, it doesn't matter whether we are employed or not. Make sure we are cultivating, we are multiplying the resources through income generating activities, starting by farming. If you are a Christian and you are relying on everything from the market, make sure you are wrong somewhere. And make sure you are failing. Everyone can make his self-assessment about this. No excuse for those who are jobless. Young people here, most of them, they always come to see the pastor, some international, oh, I don't have a job, can you help me? And some of white people here, they know, they experience that. After church, there are so many people who look around them for requests. Because they think being a white man is having unlimited resources. No, they also have their problems back home. No excuse for those who are jobless. Start with a small garden. Start with a small garden at your home. And we found that there are so many Christians here who have a restaurant. So it doesn't matter what you have produced, there is the market. The market is open. We have 5 people in this parish and they all buy what we eat on a daily basis. Feed ourselves and sell the remaining food at the market. So no excuse. For those willing to start a business, sell your precious belongings. So many young people come to see me because I have a business school. And so many come to see me. Joel, I want to come to your school, but I don't know how I will start a business. And yet he is having a phone of $100. I said, sell your phone. And start something. And after 1 year, you will buy a smartphone. You know that with $100, you can go on the market and buy how many chicken? How many hens? No, 20. You can buy 20 which are small. And with 20 hens, at the end of the year, you know how many eggs you will make? How many other hens? Multiplication is there. They will become at least 100. Then later you will take 20 cents, buy another phone, and remain with how many? 90. This is multiplication. No miracle. And some people, they've graduated. Now they are G1, jobless, G2, jobless, G3, jobless, up to PhD, jobless. You can imagine what it means. And I know some. I graduated 11 years ago. Many of my colleagues are still jobless. I know them. I did economics. We finished a group of 100 people. Many of my colleagues, they have never sit in an office. Some of them are still single because they can't even afford to pay the dowry. 11 years after they graduated. So sell your mobile phone, sell your jewelry, Sell your nice clothes and go to start something. No excuse to be poor in a country like DRC. No excuse. It is a sin being poor in DRC. I used to say that. It is a sin to be poor in DRC. Believe me, please. And don't be ashamed to start a business neglected by a mass of many, but which can help you to fighting poverty. Most of us, they are ashamed. So I'm a doctor, I'm a lawyer, how come I'm going to do farming? So make sure you start something. And once we are blessed, make sure we are fighting poverty around us. So pay a good salary to our people. Most of business people here, they don't take count of this. You pay the salary, which is the equivalent of your daily food, and you are paying to a parent. You are paying the salary which can't even fuel your car to a parent. So this is also a sin. Make sure you are paying a wage that will help your employees also to live and enjoy life like you. And later, at the end, pay the tithe for the net profit of our business to get the blessing from God. May God bless us and bless His word. Amen.